Hey, all right. We are sitting here. We're actually sitting on the floor at the end of a hallway in the Monte Carlo Hotel in Las Vegas. I'm here with Dustin Maher. And by the way, here's why we're sitting. I should probably explain it, right? Yeah, that sounds a little creepy. Sounded a little weird. We're actually at the 100K group right here, and it's a group where we create info products and $100,000 info products. And me and Dustin are just hanging out here. We were in Bedros' room, and it was like super loud because there's like, I don't know, there's like 20 people packed in there. And so we went into the hallway. So here we are. And just a little bit about Dustin. This is going to be, just so you know, this is going to be an insane, awesome, killer interview. Dustin, he has 10 bootcamp locations in Madison, Wisconsin. And the guy is just pulling in multiple six figures, very, very high multiple six figures. He also has info products, all sorts of stuff. He's on the news constantly on multiple news stations. I mean, literally, if there's anything you could do in the fitness industry and do it right, the guy is doing it and killing it. So I really want to get inside Dustin's head and find out exactly what it is with his mindset that makes him able to achieve so much stuff. So, you ready to rock and roll, Dustin?
I'm ready. No pressure, I guess.
Cool. All right. Let's just jump right in. Now, what do you think is the key to going from like being an average trainer to experiencing, to changing your business to just like explode it? So, going from average, like, hey, I'm making like $30,000 a month, that's not average, I'm making like $30,000 a year to like multiple six figures. What do you think like the number one key to that is?
I think first is having passion for it. You've got to be excited to get up every morning and to transform these lives of the people that you're interacting with. And then it's the constant desire to grow and learn, because without that, it's just so easy to become stagnant and to be satisfied with status quo and just, getting by every day. But, I don't want to just cruise along, even though things might be on autopilot, I want to always be continuing to build things up. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the passion for getting results for people, and then the desire to always be learning, growing.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Now, I know that you've had so much success, and I know you're always, like you say, you're starting new things and you're striving to get better and better. Do you ever feel fear or doubt? Like, do you ever have those feelings? To be honest, if you don't,
I think starting out, it was a lot more of that. Okay. But once you start to be successful and people start telling you that you are and complimenting you, it increases your self-esteem, your self-confidence. And I think that really helps. So not as much anymore. Well, I mean, I think there's still areas, maybe not with my boot camps now, but looking for affiliates for my informational products, that there's a little bit more fear, just overwhelming.
So what do you think? What do you do when you feel that way? How do you overcome it?
I mean, I think generally I try to look at my long-term goals and see them ahead of me and say, okay, am I going to let this short-term fear overtake me and keep me from getting to my goals? And a lot of times I just try to also be in a state of fear or uncomfortableness is what I call it. I wrote a blog post recently about I'm trying to live my life as uncomfortable as possible. Mm-hmm. And that really resonated with a lot of people saying that, I've realized that I've lived my life as comfortable as I can, and I've stayed away from things that scare me and things. So I think being uncomfortable and doing things that cause fear and doubt in your mind, I think, is a good thing.
That's awesome. I think like kind of what you're saying is to take control of the fear and like ask for it rather than to like just be like a victim of it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's kind of funny, like when you go on like a roller coaster, you're asking for the fear. Mm-hmm. So when you're on it, you're having fun. Like, it's fun fear.
Right.
Versus like if you just all of a sudden started feeling the way how your stomach starts twirling. If you were just sitting in a chair in your house and you started feeling that way, it'd freak you out.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh my God, I'm dying. But because you're asking for it and you know it's coming and you want it, it's fun. Yeah. And I guess
And then once you get past that and you see the results from it, it's a very rewarding experience. I think if success came easy, it wouldn't be as fulfilling or satisfying.
Right, absolutely. Hey, do you ever feel unmotivated? Do you ever just find like you're going through a day where you're just like, I'm not that motivated today?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of the easiest things. As you even get more successful, you become more comfortable with where things are at and say, oh, things are going well. I don't have to do X, Y, and Z today because, I'm still making the money and stuff. And yeah, I mean, there are definitely days like that. And sometimes I will look back on a 2 or 3 hour period of time and say, wow, I just wasted, an hour looking at Facebook pictures of friends I don't even really care about, or people I don't really care about or know about. And So yeah, that definitely happens some days.
What do you do? Like, what is it that you do to stay motivated or to re-motivate yourself if you feel a little low on the motivation?
Yeah, I think one thing, actually, when I find I'm unmotivated, a lot of times is when I'm tired and drained out. Maybe I've had a short night's sleep. I still teach boot camps myself. I get up every morning at 4:45. So I'm getting in bed after 10 o'clock at night. I don't want to do that consecutive nights. I'm getting tired during the 2 to 3 p.m. time. And so sometimes just taking a nap for 20 minutes or an hour even, it really re-energizes me. And or just like just go on like a 1 mile bike ride really fast and kind of get my blood flowing a little bit, and that can kind of break me out of it as well. But I've never really had long-term periods of motivation more than a day or two.
Cool. Now, how do you feel about setting goals? Like, I know you do.
Right.
What's your take on setting goals?
Yeah, I think it's definitely really important, and I wish I would do a better job of setting like daily goals. I don't do those really short-term, you know, 1-day, 7-day goals, but they'd be good. But I at least set 3-month goals usually, and then year-long goals. And I love looking back at the year-long goals and you know, seeing how I achieve actually most of them, or just about all of them, and some of them I surpassed, you know, like 25% or 50%. So that's pretty cool to look back, and it's very satisfying.
Now, what do you do when you set goals? Do you like write them on a piece of paper? Do you put them on your computer? How often do you look at them?
Yeah, I type them out usually, like in Microsoft Word, and just list them out. And sometimes I will print them out. Sometimes I just keep them on file, and I know where they're at. And actually, when I'm unmotivated, once in a while, I will go back, look at them and see what I had written down and which ones I maybe have accomplished already, because sometimes you put so much pressure on yourself and you don't appreciate your successes. And so looking back at your goals and looking back at see where you came from just 6 months ago or 3 months ago and really motivate you to say, well, I am really making progress, because I think day-to-day grind can sometimes seem like you're not making progress.
Yeah, right. And do you look at them often, or is it just something that you kind of just write and then like don't look at them once in a while?
Yeah, I probably only look at them once every 3 or 4 months, but it's something, it's probably better if I did more.
Well, whatever you're doing, it seems to be working pretty darn well. Now, what do you think, and this is kind of like a different way of asking the first question, but what do you think the secret is of turning a thought or an idea into a reality? Like, for instance, if you have an idea that you want to have like a certain, like maybe you want to own a fitness studio, or you want to have multiple boot camps, or start a boot camp, or have an info product, what's the key to turning a thought into something real?
I think the first thing is seeing it actually happening in your mind and really picturing what it would look like, what it would feel like, how it would go down, that sort of thing. So I think first believe in, and then writing out just, you know, I'm not a huge writing out a massive business plan or anything like that. I've never done that in any of my businesses, but I think having some action steps to take, at least an outline of what to do, so that a large task like that doesn't seem so overwhelming. I remember when I started my boot camps almost 2 years ago. I'm celebrating the 2-year anniversary in about 2 months. And I started, I decided I was going to do it. And then I set a deadline, I think 6 weeks is when I was going to launch the first one. So setting that deadline where you have to meet that goal is a pretty good way to put a lot of pressure on you to take those steps. And then every day, you just figure out what you have to do to get yourself that much closer to seeing that goal happen.
Awesome, man. Now, with all the stuff you got going on, I mean, you're getting up at 4:45 in the morning, you're managing 10 different bootcamp locations and people that are working for you, you have info products, you have a personal life. Do you ever feel overwhelmed, ever? Do you ever have this feeling of overwhelmed?
You know, a little bit. I think one of my strengths is that I don't stress out very much in life. I'm very low key. My girlfriend, she's the opposite. She stresses out more for me because of all the stuff I got going on. She's like, I don't know how you can handle it and stuff. And I don't know. I don't get too high and I don't get too low. That's just my personality. Some say I'm not very emotional at all. But so, you know, it's not that big of a, what was the question again?
Well, like if you ever feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like if you ever find yourself
There are times like when.
Would you ever have a day like when you're just like, wow.
Definitely. I mean, like, you'll have times when maybe my instructors are sick or out of town and little emergencies pop up here and there, and that can be overwhelming, trying to prioritize and sort through emails, even though I have an assistant who goes through half of mine. You know, just the daily grind of running the business certainly can at some points get taxing. I think that's the best way of putting it.
It's what do you do like when you feel that way? Like, how do you overcome that?
I think that's a good question. I would say, you know, I say first start off and just take a few minute break. Again, a lot of times when I feel overwhelmed is when I'm tired again. And I just am not having a good day, and I found sleep is so important for me. So sometimes I'll just drop everything, maybe read a magazine or read a book, Or just take a 30-minute nap, an hour nap, and then when I wake up, I feel more energized and remotivated to do it. But yeah, that's kind of what I've done in the past. I mean, you can go and, again, I use exercise as a great way to de-stress and stuff. So go for an hour workout and then come back and be refocused.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Now, you were talking about living your life uncomfortable and getting out of your comfort zone. And you said that you look at your, you know, is this short-term discomfort going to interfere with your long-term goal? But, like, can you walk me through, like, what you do? Like, maybe even give me an example of something that was really uncomfortable that you've done lately that you had a little conversation in your own head and overcame it and did it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this probably about 2 years ago, this is an example from then, was I started to get on TV more. Well, my first TV appearance, and I was terrified of the camera. Like, I mean, even hearing your voice on camera or on you know, video recorder, just, you know, you cringe. And so I got the opportunity to be on NBC for the first time, and I was so nervous going into it. I just remember, like, kind of shaking and stuff. And then when I got on camera, and the lady was just saying, you know, or the news anchor, she said, just, like, we're having a conversation together, pretend like there's no cameras and stuff. And so, you know, once I was able to do that, it was a lot easier. Now, I think I've been on over 70 times now, and it's like just waking up in the morning and just, you know, doing my TV thing and then going with the rest of the day.
So that day that you were terrified, I mean, you know, some people might not have done it. They might have just, like, blown an opportunity. Like, what do you tell yourself when you're really scared?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, in that situation, you're afraid of looking bad, I guess, is, like, the biggest fear usually. And, you know, I heard this thing one time where they said that everyone in life is trying to impress everyone else, but everyone is concerned about themselves. They're not really paying attention to you.
Right.
You know, so everyone lives this life thinking that everyone is going to be, you know, criticizing and judging them and stuff, while each person is in their own little world, you know, being afraid of what everyone else is thinking. So that concept really hit home with me and stuff. And so it's like, you know, people really aren't going to criticize or say, oh, he stumbled over his words or something like that. You know, it's not a big deal. And the benefits of getting my message out there is good. And another good example, on my blog, I get, just a couple days ago, I had a woman write in and say that she would take my stuff more seriously if I had better grammar. And, you know, granted, I do have typos on my stuff, and I try to proofread it, but, you know, I'm not going to get an editor for my blog right now. And I told her, I said, English was my worst subject in school. I hated it, and it's something I struggle with. But if I would have let that stop me from sharing my message,
right,
I would not have been able to help, you know, thousands and thousands of people who read my blog and stuff. And then I got tons of support from other people, and I says, you know, we don't have to wait till everything's 100% perfect,
right,
and we don't have to have to be the best at anything. You know, it's more about the passion and the content that we're delivering and stuff. So that was a good example of, you know, I don't know if I was fearful of writing, but I didn't really enjoy it until I really realized, you know, what I was passionate about. And it's really easy for me to write now. You know, I'll have a lot of typos and grammar errors, but
hey, so do I, bro.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've noticed them. Hey, do you ever get burnt out ever, or feel burnt out, even if it's momentarily? And if you do, like, what do you do to overcome that or to prevent that?
Well, I've mentioned it before already. I get burnt out the most when I'm tired. But besides that, there's so many different aspects of my business. So I just go to different things a lot of times. I'm kind of a workaholic, I guess you could say. My girlfriend would definitely tell you that. And but there's so many different facets. Whether it's, I teach 23 hours a week still myself. I'm teacher trained. You know, so I'll be doing that sometimes, and then if I'm, you know, feeling proud of that, might be, you know, doing some copywriting or answering emails or making some blog posts. So if I'm getting burnt out on one thing, I've got another facet of my business that I can jump into.
Cool, man. And, you know, everyone talks about the 80-20 rule, you know, like, focus on the 20% of your business that accounts for 80% of the progress. And now it's even gotten, like, more dialed in, like, the 5-95 rule. You know, there's only 5% that you need to do personally. What's your take on that, and what do you do to make sure that you're focusing on the really important stuff and not the little menial tasks?
I mean, I think I could be even so far farther along than I am right now if I really was able to do that, but I still get, I think the hardest thing is being bogged down by email and answering emails that are kind of important, but they don't really matter in the long run, and checking Facebook and all that stuff. So I think it's definitely very important, and I put a high level of priority on the blog and my building those relationships, so writing and putting videos up, and obviously developing content, DVDs. I just filmed in a two-day period 12 or 14 more DVDs.
Oh, wow.
So those things, of course, and then collecting testimonials. I guess my assistants can do that, but that's a high priority thing, is getting those. And what else? I mean, just the overall marketing thing and getting out in front of people. I do a lot of stuff locally, networking-wise, for my boot camp. So speaking, public speaking, do tons of that. Probably 3 or 4 times a month I speak in front of people. And then the TV stuff, of course, and my radio show I've got as well. Those are all the biggest parts, I would say.
Mm. And how do you stay, like, with all the stuff you got going on, what's your organizational method? Like, do you have one? What, like,
you know, how do you think God gave me a very good memory, for one thing. So I do use a daily planner that I write, and, you know, that has my schedule, you know, of different events that might be out of the ordinary. I just kind of have it, I guess, all in my head. Cool. Most of it. And I can, so just in my head.
Oh, awesome, man.
Yeah. I haven't used any Google calendars or anything like that at this point, but my daily planner does help me.
That's super
well.
Cool.
Yeah,
hey, Dustin, do you have any success rituals that you do every day, like exercises or something that you do to reinforce, like, mindset and success in your life?
One thing one of my goals, which is interesting, is about, I think I set this goal for myself 4 years ago. And my background, I grew up in a relatively poor, I grew up in a mobile home trailer my whole life. I lived there all 19 years of my life. And I think it was around 21, I was still in college, and I don't know if I told my parents, but I said my goal is by the age of 30 to be worth at least $1 million. That was one of my financial goals. And my parents, they're like, oh, okay, you know. And then I didn't really know how I was going to get there and all that stuff. And then, like, as things picked up the last couple of years, what I also did was I found online, you can search for a $1 million bill online on Google Images, you know?
From The Secret, I think they had one too.
There's tons of different variations of it. But so I printed that out and put that on my bulletin board right in front of my computer. So I see that every day. And I'm well on pace to do it before I'm 30. So that's pretty cool. And
dude, with all your boot camps, I think you probably definitely already done it, man.
I'm getting close. Yeah, I got a little ways to go yet. You know, taxes take a little bit out. You take a hit there and stuff. But yeah, so I'm getting there. But that's one thing, is just visualizing what I want. And I think spending time with people who are going to support that as well. It's just surrounding. I mean, we always talk about surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Sometimes even my girlfriend, she's not like that sometimes. And I just have to tell her, you know, she knows where I'm coming from. We just don't see eye to eye a little bit in that. And so I try to have other people that I spend some time with too that will encourage me in that area. But I don't know if I have any other rituals that I do on a daily basis. I just try to outwork people. That's what I do. I just work harder than them. And I know that in the future, I mean, I could cruise through now, be very good. But in the future, I'm setting myself up for a future family that, you know, my wife will never have to work, and kids can go to whatever school they want to and stuff. So I'm looking at the long-term, you know, benefits, and I know I'm not going to need to work as long and as hard as I do right now in the future.
Nice. Hey, do you have any favorite books that you've read that have really helped you, like, with success and mindset?
I'm trying to think of someone that probably not everyone else has said.
Or whatever, man. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
really,
like, whatever
right.
helped you. Because people hear the same thing over and over again, and
right.
you know, it might make them take an action again.
You know, I think one of the first books I ever read was Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's a standard one. Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. And then I've done some of T. Harv Eker's Millionaire Mindset stuff.
Yeah,
I like
really
that.
Cool book.
Yeah, it's a good book. And then a lot of others is just continually reading, like, different blogs, and, like, your blog I love, and just a lot of people in this industry as well as other industries, and just continually being fed that positive information. I'm trying to think if there's any other, you know, books, but I just ordered Purple Cow and Tribe. I've heard
cool,
those are
man.
Really good books to read on. It's a little bit more marketing side
yeah.
and stuff, but I'm excited for that.
Cool. It's part of being in the hallway, man. Hallway in Vegas. You know, I have just one more question, man. You just killer interview so far. Is there anything that you want to add to someone that's listening and just really, really wants to?
Yeah, a little rowdy here. I think the biggest thing
we'll just wait, and then I'll edit it. Yeah. I'm not saying you know.
Don't change. But my way is funny. No, actually, you're right.
Who's the girl? I think she was still, yeah, she was in the far corner sitting down by the
window.
Sylvia.
So, a dark hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's my one of my business partners. Oh,
okay. Yeah. She wasn't in the mastermind group, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She does like puts all my web stuff up or edits all my videos and like also just.
So you just brought her here? Does she live here?
Well, no. Well, she lives in Orange County.
Okay.
But she like she does a lot of stuff for Fit Body Bootcamp too. Like she's the one that like transferred all the sites to the new template. And so since I have info products and stuff, I wanted her to come here and check it out and learn. But she's actually was really busy transferring sites over, so
okay,
she wasn't down that much.
There.
Yeah, she was just like working the whole
gotcha,
time.
Gotcha.
Okay. Okay. So. Hey man, is there anything that you'd like to add or that for our trip? Is there anything? See, I knew that was going to happen. That's why. Hey, Dustin, man, killer interview. Is there anything that you want to add to a trainer that's listening to this and just wants to, like, really improve on their mindset and get to, you know, the direction that you're in?
Yeah. I think that first thing is signing up for tons of newsletters and blogs of people that are where you want to be and getting inside of their head to see what they believe and how it works. And, like, I like these masterminds just because you get to hear kind of the how successful people think, how they, you know, from a marketing standpoint, what the most important things are and stuff, and just hearing them talk and what goes on inside their head, their thought process, I think is very powerful. And realize that, you know, you're going to have bad days, but if you can, you know, get past those days, that there's going to be progress. And I think celebrating progress is huge too, because sometimes, you know, especially if you're really motivated, you have all these goals and you make new goals and bigger goals and you don't celebrate those previous goals. And it's just kind of an endless cycle of trying to reach, you know, bigger goals. While you should, you know, do that, you should also be appreciating each goal that you do meet. So that's important. And just seeing the big picture and knowing what you want in the long run, I think is very important, because we're all about, you know, short-term gratification. Trying to have that delayed gratification for future success, I think, is huge too. And getting rid of as many of the negative influences in your life as you can, because they're going to bring you down and tell you you can't do it, and you know it's not practical. And I mean, a funny story to leave you with. So my girlfriend today for 2.5 years, her ex-boyfriend she dated for 4 years, and there was like a 2-year break. And then when she told him that she was starting to date a personal trainer, he kind of laughed at her and says, "Oh, do you know how much they make?" You're like, "Oh, he's not going to be making much money."
Ah.
And so kind of it's funny to see that. So she definitely did not date me for my money, that's for sure. So that's good. But the joke's on him now.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
So, cool. Yeah, just have fun with it and just continually fill your mind with positive things, and positive things come out of it. And any challenge or negative thing that you do have in your life, try to spin it into a positive, and you'll be far better off for it.
Awesome. Thanks, Dustin. And hey, if people want to learn more about you, can they go to Dustin Maher
Fitness?
Can you spell that out?
Dustin, not Justin, Dustin with a D. Maher, Maher, fitness.com. And then if you want to see how I market my stuff, just sign up for my newsletter there. You can see I send out about 3 emails per week on the blog, and that generates most of my income.
Cool. Thanks, Dustin, man.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it, bro.
Thanks for thinking of me.
You got it. Killer, dude. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That was a great, great interview, dude. It was really